This morning on WCHL, the polls are open and final efforts are underway to get the votes. Who will face Senator Kay Hagan in the general election in November?
We still find Tom Tillis at the 40% mark that he needs to avoid a runoff.
With many redevelopment plans in the works, another is almost ready to be voted on. And work is underway for the IFC's new community house.
This is what we dream about when we think we're going to be part of a community that is going to work together.
These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Carver Road traffic and weather together. In WCHL Championship Sports, Sylvia Hatchell completes her chemotherapy treatment. Plus, UNC baseball is back in action with two non-conference midweek matchups. And
UNC women's lacrosse has an uphill battle without East Chapel Hill's Sydney Holman.
That's this morning in our Chansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
7:07 at WCHL, 57 degrees in Chapel Hill. Really nice day today. Lots of sunshine. Our high today in the low 80s. Well, the polls are open. They've been open for a little more than a half hour now. And close to 6,000 people cast their ballots early during the early voting period, showing increased interest in this midterm election with tight local and national battles. Keep it tuned to WCHL all day today and tonight for exclusive election coverage beginning at 7 o'clock tonight. I'll be joined in the studio by Aaron Keck and Elizabeth Friend, as well as special guest Carborough Mayor Liddy Lavelle. Orange County Democratic Chair Matt Hughes and Public Policy Polling Director Tom Jensen will also be here. We'll have reporters all over the place. We'll bring you the numbers live once the polls close at 7:30. You can also stay up to date on all the races where there are Election Central on chapelborough.com. You can tweet about the races using hashtag 2014 OC Primary and follow at WCHL and at Chapelborough on Twitter for all the latest. We'll have coverage throughout the day from various polling places. We'll talk about the elections, and of course, primary day is today. Again, polls are open now and will remain open for a little more than 12 hours more. They'll close at 7:30 tonight. Keep it right here on WCHL for exclusive coverage all day. Attack ads from both fellow Republicans and supporters of Senator Kay Hagan are lowering support for North Carolina Speaker of the House Tom Tillis and his bid for Hagan's U.S. Senate seat. That's according to public policy polling numbers released yesterday. Tom Jensen, director of the Raleigh-based polling firm, says that while Tillis remains the frontrunner in a primary race against Greg Brannon and Mark Harris, he's been weakened to a degree that increases the chance of a runoff, but only slightly.
We still find Tom Tillis at the 40% mark that he needs to avoid a runoff, but he's lost some ground compared to a week ago when he was at 46%. Greg Brannon and Mark Harris do have the momentum in the closing stage of the race.
At 28%, Brannon is up 8 points from a week ago, and Mark Harris is at 15%, which is up 4 points from just a week ago. Still, 11% of the voters are undecided, so Jensen still rates Tillis as the likely Republican primary winner. Senate Majority PAC, which supports Hagan, has already spent nearly $1 million on TV ads that highlight scandals involving his former chief of staff, Charles Thomas, who resigned after his affair with a Home Builders Association lobbyist was revealed, and Tillis's former policy advisor, Amy Hobbs, who also had an affair with a lobbyist and later resigned. The ad also slams Tillis for giving those two former staff members a combined total of more than $19,333 in severance pay.
Democratic groups have been trying to weaken Tillis by exploiting the staffer scandals and also by bringing attention to his semi-positive comments he made about Obamacare a couple months ago.
During an interview with Bill LeMay on WPTF in February, Tillis called the Affordable Care Act, quoting here, a great idea that can't be paid for. In a recent Hagan ad, the quote is edited down to the great idea part. The struggle for control of the Republican Party is getting an early voter test here in North Carolina. National GOP leaders are paying attention and weighing in on the showdown between the Tea Party and the establishment. Former GOP presidential nominee Mitt Romney on Monday endorsed State House Speaker Tom Tillis. Meanwhile, Tea Party favorite Rand Paul stumped for obstetrician Greg Brannon. Tillis is the race's leading fundraiser and has gotten backing from influential GOP leaders and their allies all over the country, such as the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. voters. Today's primary is the first election since North Carolina's new election law took effect, and members of an advocacy coalition are expected to be out trying to gauge the impact of the changes. Several provisions of the new law are being challenged in at least four federal and state lawsuits, but it remains fully in force. The law reduced the number of days of in-person early voting down to only 9 this year and ended same-day registration during that early period. It also requires people to show photo ID to vote in person beginning in 2016. Two voter advocacy groups have teamed up to train over 400 volunteers to monitor precincts all day today. Brian Perlmutter, a spokesman for one of the groups, says the volunteers will provide information about how the new law is being implemented. Of course, lots of interesting local races as well, including the sheriff's race, where we have 6 people running for the Democratic nomination for sheriff. There are no Republicans who are registered in that race. And because of the high number of candidates, there could be a runoff in that election as well. We'll keep an eye on all the polling that takes place today, all the voting, everybody going to the polls today. Hopefully, we'll have a high turnout today. And again, polls are open now, and we'll be remaining open until 7:30 today. A Chapel Hill Town Council is almost ready now to vote on a plan to redevelop Glen Lennox. This has been a very contentious issue. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has more details.
Members of the Chapel Hill Town Council sat down with developers from Grub Properties last night to hash out the details of a plan to revitalize one of the town's oldest commercial centers, as well as the surrounding neighborhood. The Glen Lennox redevelopment plan would add new roads and new housing to the interior of the 70-acre site, an office and retail space along Fordham Boulevard and Raleigh Road. The council's negotiating a development agreement to govern the build-out of the plan during the next 2 decades. At last night's work session, council members focused on traffic mitigation, design features, and the fiscal impact of the plan. The council also heard a novel proposal to retain affordable rental housing during and after redevelopment. Clay Grubb of Grubb Properties suggested a program aimed at keeping long-term residents. Renters who have lived in Glen Lennox for 5 years or more would be eligible to have future rent hikes limited to no more than the increase of the consumer price index. This would apply to 15% of the rentals across the entire property. Though there are still issues of contention, council members voiced approval for the plan and signaled they're almost ready to put it to a vote. The development agreement will undergo another review by town staffers before a public hearing and council vote in June. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM. WCHL.
Community members and community leaders joined together on Monday to break ground at a new residential facility for homeless men. WCHL's Danny Hooley was there at the groundbreaking ceremony for the Interfaith Council at SECU Community House and has more with this report.
On behalf of the foundation, I'm proud to formally present a $1 million grant to the Interfaith Council for the construction of what will be the SECU Community House.
That's Chairperson McKinley Wooten of the State Employees Credit Union Foundation Board, as he presented a check that was big, both physically and monetarily, to the Interfaith Council on a beautiful Monday morning in Chapel Hill. The occasion was an outdoor series of speeches, followed by a groundbreaking at the site of the planned 16,500-square-foot, two-story residential facility for homeless men at 1315 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. It will be the first permanent location for the facility since IFC started looking for a site about 30 years ago. There were a lot of speakers at Monday's ceremony, including Chapel Hill Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt, North Carolina Senator Valerie Fouché of District 23, and U.S. Representative David Price of District 4. There was also an unscheduled appearance by UNC Chancellor Carol Folt.
This is what we dream about when we think we're going to be part of a community that is going to work together, when we think about what a university and a community can do together, how our students, how our faculty, how our staff, how our community can come together and do things that are greater than any one of us could ever do on our own.
UNC donated the land where the new facility will be built next to the United Church of Chapel Hill. A capital campaign that began in December 2012 has pledges of $5.45 million towards a $5.76 million goal. In a press release, IFC said the money will allow the construction of the building without incurring any debt. Another speaker at the ceremony, Narvell Williams, is a past and current resident at IFC Community House. About a year and a half ago, he left IFC to start a trucking career until old knee injuries forced him out of work and eventually out of his apartment.
I was shocked and devastated, but I had hope. because I knew that IFC would allow me to come back and try to get the medical treatment that I needed.
The facility will provide medical and dental services to residents, as well as counseling and education. The dental facility is new and was made possible by a grant from the Kenan Charitable Trust. Senator Fauci talked about the value of a facility like this to the community.
As a public servant, I believe that we are our brothers and our sisters' keepers. And personally, as I remember certain situations in my own life, I am reminded that there but by the grace of God go I.
Congressman Price was last, and he spoke about the Federal Housing and Urban Development grant that served as seed money for the project.
It's entirely appropriate, I think, for the federal government to have the kind of flexibility to support this kind of thing in our local communities. That flexibility has been lost temporarily, I hope, by virtue of some changes in the Congress. So we got this one in just under the wire, I have to say.
Executive Director John Dorwood of the Interfaith Council told WCHL that construction will begin as soon as the building permit process is completed, which should take somewhere between 4 and 6 weeks.
The town of Chapel Hill was good enough to us all those years ago to let us use the old municipal building as a temporary quarters for the men's community house. And community house has been looking for a home ever since. And it has really taken about 28 years to find a site that everyone could sort of agree on and that the university was nice enough to be able to step forward and say, we've got a piece of property that you could use.
If all goes well, all those people will be back for a grand opening ceremony for the Interfaith Council at SCCU Community House in the spring of 2015. For more on this story, you can read it at chapelboro.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
WCHL News Time is 7:17. Ron Stutz along with Rand Northam.
Hey, Ron, you're about to talk about in championship sports Roy Williams and the fact that the Lakers want Roy. It's not a surprise at all, but it just brings up that point of everybody, you know, a few people out there kind of hating on Roy the last couple of years and the fact that he just hasn't been doing as well. You know, he hasn't had the ultimate teams and the, you know, the Final Four teams and the national championship teams over the last few years. Hasn't had the Hansboroughs and things like that. Well, the pros still want him. And he's still a great coach, you know?
Well, of course, this is with the Lakers we're talking about here. There is that Carolina connection with the Lakers.
Exactly, exactly.
Mitch Kupchak, general manager there. So, hey, I'm not surprised at all.
Not surprised either, but it's just, you know, it's people sometimes think he's down in the dumps and he's just, you know, not doing so well. Well, I mean, he's still an outstanding coach, so it's not a surprise at all that they'll be requesting that interview, but I wouldn't be surprised in the slightest if he declines that interview as well.
Well, yeah, and, you know, I think and there are schools all across the country who would love to have a basketball program like Carolina's.
Oh, yeah.
And would love to have a coach like Roy. So I'm not worried. Unless I'm just shocked, I don't think Roy's going anywhere. So
I would agree.
Yeah. Well, listen, we're going to talk about that on WCHL Championship Sports in just a moment here. It's time now for traffic, and it's brought to you by Fifth Season Gardening.
Thank you very much, Ron. 15501 southbound between I-40 and Ephesus Church Road, seeing a slight slowdown right now. Otherwise, things are moving smoothly. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you might see some slowdowns around the poles today, possibly. You can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that very safely.
Thanks, Rand. Fifth Season Gardening, downtown Carver Road. Grow organic this spring with the area's widest selection of organic vegetables, starch, seed, soils, and fertilizer. Fifth Season, you're not your garden variety gardening store. Well, now time now for your Chapel Hill Carver Road weather forecast, and it's brought to you by Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace. 57 degrees in Chapel Hill, partly sunny, high today in the low 80s. Tonight, partly cloudy with more clouds moving in after midnight. 20% chance for showers and thundershowers. Our overnight low about 55, and then tomorrow, another really nice day, partly sunny with a high in the middle 70s. Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace, serving the best tasting coffee in town. Fresh brewed coffee, fast, guaranteed to taste great. Fill up this morning at Cruiser's. Good to go.
Wake up with Ron Stutz. And remember that we're your station for Carolina, uniquely qualified to bring you the Tar Heels. This is 97.9 FM. WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Good morning.
WCHL Championship Sports on the way. Now, news around town. Remember that May is Bike Month in Chapel Hill. The town has planned a series of events all month long to encourage people to get on their bikes and ride. Get on your bikes and ride! Wednesday is International Bike to School Day. And in Chapel Hill, it's also Bike to Work Day. We need a little Queen music this morning. Students, parents, and workers are all encouraged to walk or a bike to school and work. Friday, May 16th is National Bike to Work Day as well. That is a week from Friday. That day will culminate with an evening event at the Plaza at 140 West Franklin featuring safety events, races, helmet decorating, and a performance by DSI Comedy Theater. Also in store for this month, UNC's Bike to Work event on Thursday with events during the lunch hour at the Beach Cafe, Carborough's Bike Breakfast Workshop on Tuesday, May 13th, a week from today, from 7 until 10 a.m. in the parking lot across from Armadillo Cafe, and free bike inspections on Wednesday, May 14th, a week from this Wednesday, at all bike shops in Chapel Hill and Carborough. You can read all our news around town stories by going to our website, chapelborough.com, and clicking on the news around town link. Time now for WCHL Championship Sports, brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Good morning, I'm Ron Stutz. We'll talk about Roy in just a moment, but we wanted to let you know that North Carolina women's basketball coach Sylvia Hatchell has completed her chemotherapy treatments for leukemia. The positive news was released on Monday afternoon by the UNC Athletic Department. Coach Hatchell is now back to full-time duty, embarking on a normal schedule filled with recruiting, speaking engagements, and running the Tar Heel women's basketball program. Dr. Pete Voorhees, Coach Hatchell's doctor at the UNC Leinberger Comprehensive Cancer Center, says that Coach Hatchell remained courageous throughout the course of her treatment. Coach Hatchell says it has been a really tough last 7 months, but true to the resiliency we know her for, the national championship-winning coach says her mental toughness has increased through her battle with the disease. Coach Hatchell says she's confident she'll be back better than ever on the sidelines this coming fall for Carolina as her team, loaded with returning starters and incoming talent, will set its sights on another strong push for a national title. Of course, they'll do that without Diamond DeShields, as you know. Coach Hatchell went on to say that she's looking forward to summer camp starting up soon in Carmichael Arena. She will continue to recruit the top players in the nation and starting back summer workouts with the players. Coach Hatchell excited to be back. And Rand mentioned a few moments ago Roy Williams. He's been added to the list of prospective head coaches for the Los Angeles Lakers. That's according to a report in the Los Angeles Times. Roy declined the interview in 2004. There's no word whether he'll interview this time around. However, there's no surprise he's been added to the list again since general manager Mitch Kupchak is a graduate of Carolina, and Kupchak, of course, was an outstanding player for the Tar Heels back in the day. The Times reports that others on the list are potential interviews for the job include former UNC player George Karl and Kentucky coach John Calipari. I'm sure that Roy is really pleased to be on a short list of coaches with Coach John Calipari. After a week-long hiatus, the Diamond Heels, 27-19 in the season, return to the field today and tomorrow for a couple of games against in-state competition. WCHL's Matt Oakes has more on the Tar Heels.
The Tar Heels are hitting the home stretch. Only two ACC series remain for head coach Mike Fox's squad. And with perennial powerhouse Florida State and Heisman Trophy winner Jameis Winston coming to town this weekend for a three-game set, Carolina will be hoping to get its game in order. A couple midweek confidence-boosting wins against the Phoenix and Camels would be just what the Tar Heels are looking for. First up will be a 6 p.m. first pitch in Chapel Hill with 21-15 Campbell. The bunch from Raleigh is coming off a series victory over Gardner-Webb. Carolina is likely to start freshman pitcher Zach Gallen. Gallen has suffered an up-and-down season thus far with a 4.78 ERA to his name. UNC holds a 32-10 all-time record versus Campbell, including a 3-1 mark under Coach Fox. But the last time the two schools met, it was the Camels who claimed a 7-5 win in extra innings. On Wednesday, the Tar Heels will make the short drive down I-40 to face the 26-21 Phoenix at 6:30 p.m. Elon is coming off a home series defeat at the hands of Davidson. For this encounter, it's likely Carolina will summon another young gun, Taylor Cherry, to the mound. Cherry boasts a solid 3.16 ERA on the year. The Tar Heels have won 7 in a row over the Phoenix, including a tight 5-4 escape in Chapel Hill back on April 16th. Banged up junior Michael Russell will be tossed back into the lineup as well. He'll be one to keep an eye on. UNC's offensive catalyst will need to be healthy and playing at a high level once again if the Tar Heels desire to stay in the postseason picture. Reporter, Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
The polls have been open for almost an hour now, open since 6:30 a.m. and will remain open until 7:30 tonight. It is primary day in our community. Hope you will get out and cast your votes if you haven't done that during the early period. And listen to WCHL throughout the day for coverage of the election. And also join us tonight starting at 7 o'clock for continuous live coverage on WCHL. I'll be in the studio with Aaron Keck, Elizabeth Friend, and a cast of thousands bringing you all the results as the votes are counted right here on WCHL. You can also depend on all the information being on our website, Election Central, on chapelboro.com. 7:26 at WCHL. I'm Ron Stutz.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
UNC Women's Lacrosse has an uphill battle without East Chapel Hill's Sydney Holman. This is our Chansky with Tuesday Sports Notebook. Coach Jenny Levy's defending national champions face an even greater challenge in the NCAA tournament that gets underway this weekend. The third-seeded Tar Heels face the winner of the Georgetown-Johns Hopkins first-round game Sunday at 3 o'clock on Fetzer Field. Of course, it was a whole new ballgame this year, with Syracuse a member of the ACC. The Orange kept the Tar Heels from winning the ACC championship with a 9-7 victory in the finals 10 days ago. And Syracuse is the NCAA number 2 seed behind perennial power, top-seeded Maryland. Carolina no longer has superstar midfielder Kara Cannizzaro, who graduated after leading the Heels to the national championship in that triple overtime thriller against Maryland a year ago. And now UNC must play the NCAAs without its newest star, freshman Sydney Holman of East Chapel Hill High, who tore the anterior cruciate ligament in her left knee against Boston College in the ACC semifinals, and the star attacker is gone for the rest of the season. Holman's absence was duly noted in the ACC championship game, in which the Tar Heels fell behind Syracuse, rallied but did not have the firepower to put the game away, especially with All-American Abby Friend going scoreless for the first time this season. Holman led the team in assists and was second in overall points, so her presence obviously made it easier for her teammates to get free. This week, Holman was named the co-ACC Rookie of the Year after setting a UNC freshman record in assists. If you watched her at East Chapel Hill, where she was clearly the best player on the field, you still saw the unselfishness in her game, helping to set up teammates and making them all better players. Of course, when the game was on the line, she took over and carried the Wildcats to the state championship. Levy has already established a national powerhouse, and winning a second national championship would be tough under any circumstances. The Tar Heels are currently 14-4 this season, but now it's one and done in the NCAA tournament. Especially without Holman, it will be tough to repeat. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
I am Earl McKee, Orange County Commissioner for District 2 and candidate for re-election. I will continue to provide a strong, reasonable voice on issues which affect each and every one of us on a daily basis. I understand hard work will be required, and I accept the responsibility of ensuring future generations will have a safe, healthy, environment-friendly place to live, work, and play. I am Earl McKee, and I would appreciate your vote on May the 6th.
Paid for by Earl McKee for District 2.
We asked several members of the Cedars of Chapel Hill what they like best about living there. One of these is Jean Sutterth, Cedars member since 2005. Here's what Jean had to say.
My husband, Tom Sutterth, former state senator, passed away in 2010. He is the reason we came here. But let me tell you why I love living at the Cedars. The location is priceless. We are right in the middle of everything. Grocery stores, the Metamont community. The security and transportation are incredible. The grounds are breathtaking. The food is delicious. I am a vegetarian. And they even customize my pizza. The perks offered on campus are endless. Workout room, pool, hair salon, newspapers, movies, concerts, and so much more. My beloved Tom brought me to the right place.
Thanks, Jean. To learn more about the Cedars lifestyle, visit cedarsofchapelhill.com.
Today's offer at ourlocaldeal.com is from Aqua Squad. It's half off, $100 worth of pool and spa chemicals, available now for $50. Owning a pool or hot tub is an investment that should be cared for properly, and Aqua Squad believes in providing their customers with excellent customer service, professional workmanship, and quality products. Say goodbye to the cold and hello to fun in the sun. It's Hal from Aqua Squad. It's available for a limited time. So buy it now at ourlocaldeal.com.
7:30 at WCHL, your Chapel Hill cover weather brought to you by the Carolina Inns, Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar. 57 degrees, partly sunny today, hot today in the low 80s. Really nice weather. Tonight, partly cloudy with a slight chance of showers and the low in the middle 50s. Tomorrow, we're looking at partly sunny skies with the highs in the middle 70s. The Carolina Inns, Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar is one of only three Forbes four-star rated restaurants in all of North Carolina. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant, a favorite place for gourmet cuisine.
Check out our comprehensive community calendar, photo galleries, and all of our news stories and more from 97.9 FM WCHL on chapelboro.com.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett. Corruption allegations and some veterans' hospital deaths in Phoenix are putting pressure on Eric Shinseki. He runs the Veterans Administration, and now the American Legion wants him out.
Veterans that put the uniform on to defend our freedoms deserve better than what they're receiving currently.
Daniel Dellinger is the group's national commander, and with accusations that the Phoenix VA facility had some delays that may have led to 40 deaths.
Enough's enough. One veteran's death is just unbelievable, but when you think about preventables and the fact that they are covering up, the fact that they had secret lists, that's unforgivable.
Retired Army Major Mike Lyons is a CBS military consultant.
There's concern about what happened in Phoenix. There's concern about VA hospitals in Colorado and places that they feel from an oversight leadership perspective that somebody should be getting out of their chair, basically, and going and seeing what exactly is going on the ground in these places.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL News, talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
732, 57 degrees in Chapel Hill. Nice day on the way. Good morning, I'm Ron Stutz. The polls are open, have been for a little over an hour. They opened up at 6:30 a.m. and will remain so until 7:30 tonight. Close to 6,000 people have been out to vote early, not this morning, but of course during the early voting period, a total of 9 days, showing increased interest in this midterm election with tight local and national battles. Keep it tuned to WCHL all day today and tonight, of course, for exclusive continuing election coverage beginning at 7 o'clock. I'll be joined in the studio by Aaron Keck and Elizabeth Friend of the WCHL news team, as well as some special guests in our studio tonight. Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle will be here, Orange County Democratic Chair Matt Hughes, and Public Policy Polling Director Tom Jensen will also be here to break down the numbers. We'll bring you the numbers live once the polls close at 7:30 tonight. You can also stay up to date on all the races with our Election Central on chapelboro.com and tweet about the races using hashtag 2014OC Primary and follow at WCHL and at Chapelboro on Twitter for all the latest. We'll be talking about primary day all day today on WCHL. Let you know what turnout is like and that sort of thing. We'll have reporters all over the place tonight as well. You'll hear from the candidates, you'll hear from the winners, and certainly we'll wrap it up, of course, with all the numbers bright and early tomorrow morning right here on WCHL. Remember, Election Central, chapelboro.com, and the only place you can get all this information tonight is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, as well as our website, of course. Very important to get out today, primary day. Attack ads from both fellow Republicans and supporters of Senator Kay Hagan are lowering support for North Carolina Speaker of the House Tom Tillis in his bid for Hagan's U.S. Senate seat. That's according to public policy polling numbers released yesterday. People all over the country are watching this race in particular. Tom Jensen, director of the Raleigh-based polling firm, says that while Tillis remains the front runner in a primary race against Greg Brannon and Mark Harris, he's been weakened somewhat, and that increases the chance of a runoff slightly.
We still find Tom Tillis at the 40% mark that he needs to avoid a runoff, but he's lost some ground compared to a week ago when he was at 46%. Greg Brannon and Mark Harris do have the momentum in the closing stage of the race.
At 28%, Brannon is up 8 points from just a week ago, and Mark Harris is now at 15%, which is up 4 points from a week ago. Still, 11% of the voters are said to be undecided, so Jensen still rates Tillis as the likely Republican primary winner. Senate Majority PAC which supports Hagen, has already spent nearly $1 million on TV ads that highlight scandals involving his former chief of staff, Charles Thomas, who resigned after his affair with the Home Builders Association lobbyist was revealed, and Tillis's former policy advisor, Amy Hobbs, who also had an affair with a lobbyist and later resigned. The ad also slams Tillis for giving those two former staffers a combined total of more than $19,333 in severance pay.
Democratic groups have been trying to weaken Tillis by exploiting the staffer scandals and also by bringing attention to his semi-positive comments he made about Obamacare a couple months ago.
During an interview back in February, Tillis called the Affordable Care Act, quoting here, a great idea that can't be paid for. And in a recent Hagen ad, the quote is edited down to the great idea part. Politics as usual. Of course, Tillis has spent lots of money as well. In fact, former GOP presidential nominee Mitt Romney on Monday endorsed State House Speaker Tom Tillis. Meanwhile, Tea Party favorite Rand Paul is stumping for obstetrician Greg Brannon. Tillis is the race's leading fundraiser and has gotten backing from influential GOP leaders and their allies, such as the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Today's primary is the first election since North Carolina's new election law took effect, and members of an advocacy coalition are expected to be out today trying to gauge the impact of the changes brought on by the North Carolina General Assembly in Raleigh last year. Several provisions of the new law are being challenged in at least four federal and state lawsuits, but in the meantime, they remain fully in force. The law reduced the number of days of in-person early voting to only 9 this year, much less than in previous years, and ended same-day registration during that early voting period as well. It also requires people to show photo identification to vote in person, not now, but beginning in 2016. Two voter advocacy groups have teamed up to train over 400 volunteers to monitor the precincts today. Brian Perlmutter, a spokesman for one of those groups, says the volunteers will provide information about how the new law is being implemented. Of course, a lot of interesting local races as well that we have talked about in all the days leading up to today's primary day. Maybe the most interesting will be the race for sheriff. There are six Democrat candidates are running for the nomination for sheriff in Orange County after the long-term retirement was announced by Lindy Pendergrass, who's been sheriff since almost the beginning of time. And there is more of a likelihood of a runoff because there are so many candidates. A candidate has to get 40% plus one of the vote in order to win the primary. So we will follow that race throughout the day, find out what people are saying, and of course, as I said before, tune in tonight for complete all the numbers and all the election results right here on WCHL and chapelboro.com. There's other news to report this morning, including the Chapel Hill Town Council getting ready almost to vote on a plan to redevelop Glen Lennox. Now, this has been on the table in one way or another for years. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has more details.
Members of the Chapel Hill Town Council sat down with developers from Grub Properties last night to hash out the details of a plan to revitalize one of the town's oldest commercial centers, as well as the surrounding neighborhood. The Glen Lennox redevelopment plan would add new roads and new housing to the interior of the 70-acre site, an office and retail space along Fordham Boulevard and Raleigh Road. The council's negotiating a development agreement to govern the build-out of the plan during the next two decades. At last night's work session, council members focused on traffic mitigation, design features, and the fiscal impact of the plan. The council also heard a novel proposal to retain affordable rental housing during and after redevelopment. Clay Grubb of Grubb Properties suggested a program aimed at keeping long-term residents. Renters who have lived in Glen Lennox for 5 years or more would be eligible to have future rent hikes limited to no more than the increase of the Consumer Price Index. This would apply to 15% of the rentals across the entire property. Though there are still issues of contention, council members voiced approval for the plan and signaled they're almost ready to put it to a vote. The development agreement will undergo another review by town staffers before a public hearing and council vote in June. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM. WCHL.
A legislative committee wants more time to consider the effects of allowing 1.5 million North Carolina public school students to choose their classroom anywhere in the state. Members of a legislative oversight committee on Monday decided to keep studying the issue rather than introduce a draft law ahead of the annual General Assembly session starting next week. Republican Representative Brian Holloway of Stokes County said he wants to hear from school administrators about the idea. More than 20 states already have laws requiring schools to accept student transfers across across district boundaries. The proposal would let local school districts refuse an outside student if there's a lack of space or teachers at the school requested. Transfers would upset an established desegregation plan or the student has had discipline problems. A lawyer representing North Carolina Attorney General Roy Cooper says the state Supreme Court should lay out rules for how regulators should consider the consumer impact of electricity rate increases. The Supreme Court heard arguments yesterday in a case brought in Cooper's continuing fight against higher power rates sought by Duke Energy. The High Court a year ago ordered the North Carolina Utilities Commission to reconsider a 7% rate increase it granted Duke Energy Carolinas in January of 2012. The commission quickly approved the rate increase again. Cooper sued again, saying regulators didn't really look at the impact on customers in a territory ranging from Durham through western North Carolina. A Duke Energy attorney told justices that rate increases benefit customers in the long run by guaranteeing safe, reliable power. 741 at WCHL. It's Ron Stutz along with Rand Norton, and quite a day. We've had a lot of anticipation for this day, and it's finally here. Polls have been open for an hour and 11 minutes.
And they'll stay open for a total of 13 hours today, and we'll keep an eye on it all day long. And then at 7 o'clock tonight, of course, that's when our coverage really kicks off, as you'll be hosting the show throughout the evening, and Aaron Keck, Elizabeth Friend, will be along with you, and I'll be in the room as well making phone calls, and I'll probably weigh in from time to time, but Lydia Lavelle, Carborough Mayor, as well as Tom Jensen, Director of Public Policy Polling, and Matt Hughes, the Orange County Democratic Chair, will all be there as our special guests as well to talk about all that's going on in the races. Of course, a lot of focus, as you mentioned, on the sheriff's race. That's probably the one with the most focus, the special election in Carborough for the Board of Aldermen member to fill the seat of Lydia Lavelle. So I'm sure she'll have a lot to talk about with that tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, other races going on, that the Barry Jacobs-Bonnie Hauser race has been closely contested and talked about a lot as well. So will be a lot to talk about tonight, and once those numbers come in, beginning at 7:30, we will break them all down for you, and we've got them on our website as well, chapelboro.com, and you can get there to our Election Central page, chapelboro.com/Election Central.
You know, for the folks who may have just moved to this community not long ago, it's important to point out that WCHL really kicks into an even higher gear on Election Day or Primary Day. And we bring you all this election coverage, and just try getting it on another radio station, and it ain't going to happen.
That's right.
Just be here, 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL. And, of course, what we talk about at this time every morning is our website at chapelboro.com, and you can go to Election Central there.
Right.
And a lot of things. In addition to primary news, we'll be there on our website when you check it out.
You've got that right. And tonight and throughout the day today, we've got, of course, the hashtag we've created. It's hashtag 2014 OC Primary. And that will feed a Twitter feed that we will have at the top of our page that will just be a running conversation of what people are talking about with today's election. So you'll want to hashtag 2014 OC Primary whenever you go to the polls, take a picture of yourself at the polls. Maybe you're talking about who you voted for today, or anything that you're talking about with the primary. Maybe you've decided not to vote. We hope that that's not the case, but tell us why, if that is the case today, with hashtag 2014 OC Primary on Twitter. So that will be available throughout the day today. As well, on our website, we've got A Tale of Two Spring Adventures. Jared Rogers writes about 47 Nights Out by himself, and also 47 Days All Natural by Ellen Brisley. So a pretty interesting column there, and you can check that out on our website, chapelboro.com. You've heard from the commentator talking about grading the Ephesus Fordham plan. It's Ken Larson, and that's posted on our website, the text of that commentary as well. And our website is chapelboro.com with instantly live streaming on an app for that. It's only going to get busier throughout the day today.
Yes, sir. And speaking of the commentary, you will hear that commentary from Ken Larson, coming up next on WCHL.
I am Earl McKee, Orange County Commissioner for District 2 and candidate for re-election. I will continue to provide a strong, reasonable voice on issues which affect each and every one of us on a daily basis. I understand hard work will be required, and I accept the responsibility of ensuring future generations will have a safe, healthy, environment-friendly place to live, work, and play. I am Earl McKee, and I would appreciate your vote on May the 6th.
Paid for by Earl McKee for District 2.
This is Mark Vitale, CEO of All About Insurance. We're looking to add key people to our organization. Professionals in financial services and life insurance. Experience in those fields is necessary. We also have positions in outside sales to help build our commercial insurance enterprise. Experience there is a plus, but not required if you have a college degree. Compensation is very competitive. You will be well-trained and income possibilities are unlimited. Call Bill Astor, our president, at 919-616-3074, and Bill will put you in touch with me immediately.
Bring the kids, welcome your neighbors, and leave the work week behind. Hi, this is Michelle from the Carolina Inn, inviting you to join us for Fridays on the Front Porch every Friday starting at 5 p.m. Fridays on the Front Porch provides the perfect atmosphere for kicking back, relaxing, and getting a jump start on the weekend. Enjoy great food, live music, and fun times under the shady oaks and magnolia trees. There's no cover charge or reservations to attend. For more information, visit CarolinaInnEvents.com.
Hi, I'm a kid. We support Jimmy Doster. Please vote Jimmy Doster for the Durham School Board on May 6th.
Paid for by Vote Jimmy Doster.
Help Durham kids prosper. Vote Jimmy Doster. Vote Jimmy Doster this Tuesday, May 6th. JimmyDoster.com.
Hi, I'm a kid. We support Jimmy Doster. Please vote Jimmy Doster for the Durham School Board on May 6th.
Paid for by Vote Jimmy Doster.
It's springtime, and your friends at Glass Half Full Restaurant, Wine Bar, and Wine Shop invite you to enjoy lunch or dinner outdoors on our beautiful garden patio. Glasses of copper-colored rosés shine beside fresh spring greens, fragrant herbs, and crisp new vegetables from the farmer's market. And our pitchers of icy sangria return. For Mother's Day and graduation celebrations, Glass Half Full will open for dinner on Sunday, May 11th at 5 p.m. Spring is definitely in the air at Glass Half Full.
This is Roy Williams, and thanks, Ron Stutz. You've done a great job of waking everybody up in Chapel Hill and Carrboro. After you wake them up, you've probably put them to sleep again, but congratulations.
Well, thank you, Coach. No Lakers in your future, right? 747 at WCHL.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Ken Larson. There's been a lot of controversy about Ephesus Fordham. Some people are for it, and some people are against it. The main reason for the polarization is, if you just read the town's vision statement or advertising, you'll love it. I give the town staff an A+ for the hype. If you are a real estate broker or a developer, you'll love it, as you stand to make a lot of money. However, if you actually read the plan, you'll find that it has many shortcomings. It will not bring us the type of stores Chapel Hill really needs, like a Costco or a Target, but instead lots of expensive apartments. Upzoning will increase the property values of many small businesses and force them to leave. It will not resolve flooding issues for downstream property owners. Increased density in seven-story buildings don't belong in a flood zone. Many of the buildings that are there shouldn't have been built in the first place. They flood often. Ephesus Fordham will exacerbate traffic congestion by adding several thousand new residents to a congested part of town. Ephesus Fordham will not be walkable, as more streets will be added, but no pedestrian bridges or tunnels will be built to connect to current neighborhoods. Ephesus Fordham will diminish our stock of affordable housing. A token amount of affordable housing will be provided, but only in a later phase. I give the current plan a C-, and I urge the town council to fix the plan before any upzoning vote is taken. Please make the plan match the vision that was agreed upon in the small area plan. This is Ken Larson.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Hi, this is Sean Sloan. When I tell someone that I own the local eco-friendly shop, Twig, more times than not, they say, "Hey, Sean, great socks." You may think this is crazy, but at Twig, we sell more socks than anything else. thousands of socks. Our customers say these are the finest quality, best-priced socks they've ever seen. Better than outlet prices. From $1.50 to $4 a pair, our socks are made right here in North Carolina. Stop by and see our display in front of our store, located on Elliott Road next to Whole Foods, Twig, where it feels good to be green.
Hi, I'm Bonnie Hauser. In a few short months, we changed the conversation. People are finally talking about things that matter and are ready to work with the county to prepare for the future. That starts with fixing how we fund our schools and finding the money to pay our teachers. And it includes working together to plan for growth and development. When you visit the polls, cast your vote for fresh new leadership so that we can do better. Please vote for me, Bonnie Hauser, Commissioner-at-Large, and let's get started.
Paid for by the committee to elect Bonnie Hauser.
Polls have been open for an hour and 20 minutes. It is 7:50 at WCHL. Time now for traffic, brought to you by Carolina Baseball.
Thank you very much, Ron. Traffic doing pretty well so far this morning. Of course, people trying to get to the polls this morning, and you might see a little slowdown around those areas. Right now, we do see a bit of a slowdown on 15501 southbound between Garrett Road and I-40, 15501 northbound between Estes Drive and Ephesus Church Road. Otherwise, things pretty usual out there, nothing too major, and no accidents being reported at this time. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you do that safely.
Don't miss Carolina baseball action this weekend. Tar Heels host Florida State for a three-game series at Bosch Amber Stadium. Friday at 7, Saturday at 1, and Sunday at 1. Of course, there are a couple of midweek games between now and then. Tickets and game day information available at GoHeels.com. WCHL's Chapel Hill cover of weather, 57 degrees, partly sunny, high today in the low 80s. Tonight, partly cloudy with the low in the middle 50s, and just a slight chance of a shower or two. Tomorrow, we're looking at partly sunny skies with the highs in the middle 70s. Pretty good weather here for the next couple of days. 7:51 at WCHL. Ladies and gentlemen, Wayne Pond, the highlight of our show this morning.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you agree, Rand?
I would agree.
Just outstanding to have him.
I'm voting for you, Ron.
Oh, really?
Well, there's no write-ins in this one. Sorry, Wayne.
on my nonpartisan, he's a good guy ticket.
I am not running, and if elected, I will not serve.
All right. Well, listen, I'm looking forward to your health coverage tonight of the local political upheaval. So good luck as you fan out across the community today.
All right. Well, I tell you what, it's going to be fun. It always is. It's a very long day, but at the same time, we need to get that information out there, and we all take pride in doing that. So I hope you'll be listening.
I will indeed. All right. On to the business at hand here, the word of the day. Here is a lovely little term that I'll bet both you and Rand are familiar with, but you don't work it into the conversation very often.
Probably not.
It has a wonderful archaic quality to it, and yet it is also just as fresh as when, let's see, according to the wordsmith, it comes into the language in the 12th or the 13th century. Ron, we're talking about something almost as old as you here.
Uh-huh.
The word of the day is leaf, L-I-E-F. This is not L-E-A-F, that which falls from your trees in the fall season. L-I-E-F, leaf, comes into English, as I said, hundreds, more than a thousand years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And my math is wrong on that. Forget it. it begins life as an adverb and then switches over to an adjective. Now it's back serving in our wonderful language as an adverb. Leaf is you reduce it to a couple of quick terms, soon or gladly. And the example here is from Shakespeare. I thank you for your company, but good faith, I had as lief been myself alone. So, do you love it or do you love it?
I just absolutely love it, but I don't really understand the meaning of it.
I had as lief do this as that. I just as soon do this as that.
Oh, okay.
I gladly do this as that.
Well, you did have one thing right, Wayne, that neither Ron nor myself use that in our regular language every day.
Well, I'm challenging into your everyday conversation.
I accept the challenge. I accept the challenge.
Okay, but
I have a big dining room table. I can take a leaf out of it today.
Yeah, I knew that he'd take the turn south, and he did. All right, guys, there's your word of the day: L-I-E-F, leaf. As soon, as gladly, as we're going to hang up this conversation. Okay.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
Happy primary day, Wayne.
Yeah. Wayne Pond's Word of the Day on WCHL, brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else?
I do not know.
Sometime next hour, you'll have an opportunity to call in and tell me the word of the day. Spell it, define it. If you can do all that, we'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers. That's how we like to roll around here. 7:55 at WCHL. Ladies and gentlemen, Lauren Stafford, again, not here today. She is on assignment. And here is Rand Northam.
She's heading to the polls early this morning.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, here is Rand with your joke for her, though.
Beg pardon?
We do have a blonde joke for her.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
A blonde buys two horses, and she can't tell them apart. Mm-hmm. She asks the farmer next door what to do. He says to cut one of their tails off. So she does.
Whoa.
But then the other horse's tail gets caught in a bush and rips off. Pretty weak tail. Pin the tail on the donkey here. So she can't tell them apart again. She asks the farmer for advice a second time. He tells her to cut one of the horse's ears. And she does. But then the other horse gets its ear ripped off in a barbed wire fence. It's getting better. She is still confused. So she asks the farmer what to do. He tells her to measure them. She comes back and says, the white horse is 2 inches taller than the black horse.
I can see why she had such difficulty. Lauren, that's dedicated to you.
That's right. Our multicolored South African flash.
Thank you so much.
You bet.
Multicolored horses as well. 7:56 at WCHL.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
And Justice is today's WCHL hometown hero. Just one of the special moms we're saluting all this month. And Ann Justice's daughter, Jill, is with us now. And she nominated Ann. Jill, why is your mom so special?
I just have the best mom, Ron. She's just the greatest person that I know, and I'm so lucky to have her as my mom. She's so sweet and kind and caring and cares a lot about me and my sister and just wants to make us happy. She'll leave me singing voicemails, telling me about her day, asking about mine in a lovely tune. Anything we do together is always very entertaining.
I know she's a regular WCHL listener as well.
She is. She loves waking up with Ron Stutz.
Tell me about those singing voicemail messages. I want to hear about that.
Well, it's just another quirky personality trait of my mother. She loves to call me and leave me voicemails about her day and how it's going.
Well, I understand that she gives out great advice as well, and I just get the feeling there's a special connection between the two of you.
Yes, we have a great bond. I feel like we were definitely meant for each other. When I was about 16 and I wanted to pierce my belly button, as a lot of my friends were doing, she strongly recommended against it and gave me the best reason I've ever heard not to. She said, please don't pierce your belly button. That was our connection when you were in my stomach.
Now, did she manage to convince you not to pierce your belly button?
It worked. It is not pierced.
Well, I guess that's good advice for other moms out there who might be dealing with the same thing. It sounds as if Ann Justice has a great sense of humor, the way she goes about things.
She's just so fun. She's fun to be around, and I'm so lucky to have her as my mom.
Now, when you guys go out shopping together and that sort of thing, do you have fun?
Oh, yeah. Grocery shopping. We're dancing in the aisles, always laughing, and lots of jokes, lots of good stories between us when we're together.
My goodness. Well, Jill Justice, thank you so much for the nomination. And Ann Justice is today's WCHL Hometown Hero. a very special mom.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather, 56 degrees in Chapel Hill right now. Our high today in the low 80s. Partly sunny, actually a pretty good day. We'll have a slight chance of rain tonight with a low of 55. And then tomorrow, another really good day on the way.
Local news all day, breaking news whenever it happens. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
It's 8 o'clock.
Carolina baseball.
Russell throws to second base, and it's Omaha for Carolina.
WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
White House climate report.
An action plan on the catastrophic impact of global warming.
Calls for the VA secretary to step down.
The veterans of this country deserve better.
Beverly Hills boycott.